Thank you. The reason I don't read is because I love to listen to you reading it. So, these are incredible verses. Amen? Any of you who know that have been saved for a while, you know that these are incredible verses. Romans chapter 8, what more can I say? You know, in Bible college, we were expected, Linda and I, to memorize them. And when we got saved, our spiritual mothers and fathers, they directed us to these verses. And Romans chapter 8 is one of the most loved books of the Bible in the entire Bible, and for good reason. How many of you this morning would consider yourself people watchers? How many of you are people watchers? I'm a people watcher. Anyone here? People watcher, just observe people. I love to observe people. And I often arrive at conclusions from my observations when I am observing people. And one of my observations, or one of the observations I often see, is that many people actually do life better than they give themselves credit for. So I'm watching people do life, and they actually do life better than, as I said, than they give themselves credit for. And it's very interesting. And so I like to show up and tell them what I see, but daily I meet people who are trying hard to move ahead. I see people wanting to do life well. Amen? And I see this every day, yet I also see people doing this with a lack of confidence. With a lack of confidence. I see every day people practicing condemnation of self. Often I see this, I see it every day. It may sound like this: I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. I am fearful of change. What if I fail? And I came across a quote this week by Joel Osteen on Twitter, and it says this, it says, "You can't listen to negative, defeating, limiting words and reach your potential." How many of you would say amen to that? He goes on, he says, "Words are like seeds. They have power. Delete the negative and become who God created you to be." Right? So I hope today you are encouraged. So let me ask you a question or two. Do you honestly this morning know your position in Christ? Do you honestly know your position this morning in Christ, in this sanctuary? Do you know who you are in Him? Can you say confidently, "Yes, I know my position in Christ this morning"? Do you know this morning God's love for you, that you are forgiven? Okay, not at a surface level, but at a deeper level. Do you know God's love for you, that you are forgiven? Do you know it? That you are. It's so, so important. If you are a Christian who battles the pressing weight of condemnation, take heart. Take heart. Romans 8:1 says, "There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ." Amen? Powerful. Why do you think they made us memorize this in Bible college? Why do you think when we got saved, our spiritual mothers and fathers directed us right to Romans chapter 8? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Amen. This means that when your heart screams thoughts of condemnation at you, it is a lie. It is a lie. It is a lie. Amen. When your mind, your life, your circumstances are screaming words of condemnation at you, if you are a Christ child, then it is a lie. And there's no place for lies within your journey with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you say amen? Amen. Romans chapter 8 says there's no condemnation. This morning I want you to leave this place with more confidence that God is pleased with you because of the finished work of his son. Is that a good premise for us to move forward this morning? I want you to leave this place with more confidence that God is pleased with you because of your relationship and the finished work of his son, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you a zinger. It's a story about a guy named Nick. Nick was a big, strong man who worked for the railroad for years, many years in the yard. He was one of the company's best employees, always there on time, always reliable, a hard worker who got along well with all the other employees. But Nick had one major problem. His attitude was chronically negative. He was known around the railroad yards as the most pessimistic man on the job. He feared the worst and constantly worried, fretting about everything and anything. And one summer day, the crews were told to go home early for an event, and all the workers left except Nick was accidentally locked into a refrigerator boxcar. And when Nick realized that he was locked inside the boxcar, he panicked, as I would too. And he began beating the doors until there were blood on his hands and his fists were bloody. And he screamed and he screamed, but his co-workers were already gone, so nobody could hear his desperate cry for help. And aware that he was in a refrigerated boxcar, Nick guessed that the temperature in the unit was well below freezing. So he feared the worst. He thought, what am I going to do? If I don't get out of here, I'm going to freeze to death. And the more he thought about the circumstances, the colder he became. And with the door shut tightly, there was no apparent way to escape. So he sat there to await the inevitable. And to pass the time, he decided to chronicle his demise. And shivering almost uncontrollably, he scribbled a message to his family that said, and he noted, getting so cold, body is numb. If I don't get out soon, these will probably be my last words. And they were his last words, because the next morning when the crews came, they opened up the boxcar and Nick's body was found crumbled over into a corner. And when they did the autopsy on him, they surely discovered that he had been indeed frozen to death. Now, there's a fascinating part of this story, a fascinating enigma. The investigators discovered that the refrigeration unit for the unit was not even on. It was not on. In fact, it had been out of order for some time and was not functioning at all at the time of this man's death. But Nick was convinced that he didn't have a chance. He didn't have a chance. He expected the worst. He saw himself doomed with no way out. He lost the battle. He lost the battle in his own mind. And for Nick, the thing he feared and expected to happen came to pass. Many people today are similar to Nick. They always expect the worst. I often say to people, my natural default is positive. Can you at least meet me halfway? Many people are like this guy. They're always expecting the worst. They expect defeat. They expect failure. They expect mediocrity. And they usually get what they expect. They become what they believe. Amen? Have you ever met anyone like that? Are you like that this morning? We are Christians, right? We are Christians. Can you say that with me? We are Christians. And Christians put away feelings that don't measure up in God's sight. Amen? God has declared that Jesus measuring up is all that we need. Jesus measuring up. You should say that with me too. Jesus measuring up. And Romans chapter 8 says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. So what does this passage say about God? And what does this God teach us in this passage? And what does Romans say about us in the passage? Well, the central theme through the whole book of Romans is the gospel is the power for salvation for anyone who believes. Amen? Amen. I believe that still as strongly as the day I gave my heart to the Lord. And I remind myself every day of that. Okay? And if that is true, then there's power in that. And there is power in that. And when you start to function in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, there is power in that. Amen? The central message of the entire letter, of the letter to the Romans, the gospel is the power. So we need salvation. Paul starts the letters to the Romans by showing that we all need salvation. Amen? Amen? Everyone can know there is an almighty God, but we must trust him, right? And we must honor him. And I believe if we develop a greater trust for our God and a greater honor for our God, a lot of circumstances will change. A lot of self-condemnation will be lifted off and given away and disappear. But it all starts with that, trusting in God. It all starts with honoring our God. I believe that when we come in here on a Sunday morning, that we honor God, do you? Almost every Sunday, we pray that, Lord, everything that we do in this house will be done to an audience of one. That, Lord, your name would be high and lifted up. That your name would be glorified. That the pastors in this church don't own the house. That Jesus Christ is the pastor of this church and we get to assist him. And you get to assist us. We all need salvation. We all need hope from God. Paul teaches that there is no hope for us through the things that we do for God. There is hope through what God did for us. And we need to understand that. We need to walk in that. We need to journey in that. We need to think about that daily, that what he did for us, not what we are doing for him. And Paul teaches us this. This means that he declares that sinners are no longer bad people. You are not bad people. You are saved. In his eyes, you are not a bad person. You may still do bad things. And you shouldn't. But in his eyes, you are not a bad person any longer. This is basic. But we need to get that in because there are too many people that practice self-condemnation. There is wonderful proof of God's love for us in Romans 5 and 8 because he pours out his love into our hearts, 5 and 6. Our lives are full of hope and rejoicing. We are no longer enemies with God, but friends. Friend with God? Oh my goodness, I can't even comprehend this. How many of you grew up in a tradition where God was so big, but there wasn't really, when we talk about this friendship thing with God, it was like, how does that happen? And yet the scripture would say that we are friends with God. When we receive forgiveness of sin and have become friends with God, it's incredible. We must consider yourself dead to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. Serving God in a way of the Spirit. Paul acknowledges that sin still dwells within him in Romans 7 and 17. This is Paul. He says that sin still dwells within him. And when he wants to do good, he does not have the power to do it. The fight between sin and obedience to God always remains in the life of the believer. Yet rejoice for those who believe in Jesus Christ who are not condemned any longer. There's always that tension. Amen? There's always that tension. If I ask you honestly, how many of you sinned even this morning. There's that tension. There's always that tension. Paul said it. We can't deny it. But we have to please God by obeying Him. Back to Romans chapter 8, we read now that believers are filled with the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit lives in us, we please God by obeying Him. Amen? And we can be sure of the resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ, and we know that we are now beloved children of God. Amen? So in conclusion, the Spirit brings life to people. Are you allowing the Spirit to bring life to you this morning? Are you allowing, not just in here during the worship time, but are you allowing the Spirit of God to bring joy into your heart? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We read now that believers are filled with the Spirit of God, and because the Spirit lives in us, we please God by obeying Him. We can be sure of the resurrection. Amen. The Spirit gives us life now by liberating us from the power of sin and death. Sin and death. And it is also instrumental in giving us life for the future. But here's the zinger. Believers must not be inactive in all of this. That is my number one prayer. That is the thing that I intercede for the most. That is the area where the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me. That is the area of pain. That is the area of warfare. That's the area of going after. It's when I would have an observation, because I'm a people watcher, of people that are inactive, that have a head knowledge of what's being said here this morning, but are inactive in the process of what it's doing. Believers must not be inactive. They must put into effect the power of the Spirit if they expect to experience eternal life, if they expect to have the power of the Holy Spirit. So can you dream with me for a minute? Is that okay? Just for a minute. What would happen if your thought life this morning was in total agreement with God? What would happen over here? Think about that for a second. What would happen is if your thought life was in total agreement with God? Thinking? This half of this section. So what would happen if your thought life was in total agreement with God, with the Spirit of God? Okay? Think about that for a second. I'm not going to ask you for an answer. Over here, in this section here, you have to think about it twice then, because you're in halfway. So in this section over here, What would happen if your thought life was in agreement with God? So let me ask you a question. Can you see the possibilities? Can you see the possibilities in that? Everyone? Can you see the possibilities of what that would look like? Can you? I'm talking about faith. Your faith can cause God to show up and work supernaturally in your life. Amen? Amen? Close your eyes for one sec. How many of you sometimes practice self-condemnation? Close your eyes. Put up your hand if it's you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can you see the possibilities then? Your faith can cause God to show up and work supernaturally in your life, and He will help you overcome obstacles and allow you to reach new levels of victory. Amen? New levels of victory. Don't settle for the mediocrity. Don't do it, folks. It's up to you. It depends on your outlook. Are you focused on God? Don't be a half-hearted Christian. Don't be a half-hearted Christian. Amen? So, this is the deal. We all leave a legacy of sorts, either a positive one or a negative one. Our lives eventually will come to an end, and each of us will leave a legacy. The truth will come out. The good things we did, the bad things we did, and what we really stood for. So this morning, I encourage you, don't be a half-hearted Christian. Make sure that every day counts, and don't waste another single moment going there, because there is no condemnation for those who follow Christ. Amen? Amen? Worship team, let's do one that... Oh.